readings this morning are taken from Matthew chapter 5, and that's on page 970 in your Bibles, and then also from Hebrews chapter 13, which is on page 1212. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 43. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray. God, we welcome you into our lives, into our church. We just want to be filled by you and be a bit more like you. I just pray, Lord, that as we hear from your word this morning, that you'll challenge us just to be a bit more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. So as some of you might have heard last Sunday, we started a new series which is shaping church culture, and the driving verse is, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. So what we are trying to look at is, what is our church culture and how we can shape it for to be more like Jesus, for to be more like Jesus and his first group of disciples. So we're probably a long way ahead, but this is what we're wanting to do, is we really all want to be a bit more like Jesus, just because we find Jesus so fascinating. So one of the definitions of culture that I found was from this author, Christina De Rossi, and she says, and there's many definitions you'll find, and they're all quite similar, but it's culture encompasses religion, food, what we wear, how we wear it, our language, marriage, music, what we believe is right or wrong, how we sit at the table, how we greet visitors, how we behave with loved ones, and a million other things. So a culture is everything we do. And what I love about her definition is the next bit, because then she says, but culture is no longer fixed, if it ever was. It is essentially fluid and constantly in motion. And so basically what she's saying is that we can all shape our culture. We can all be part of the people who are shaping the culture around us, who are molding it, and we all kind of breathe into our culture and are part of the changing it. And if you think of something like a church like ours, each of us has influence, and enough influence to change things, to make things differently. So today we're looking specifically at being a welcoming community or a culture of welcome. And I was looking at the Oxford Dictionary, which I do some from time to time when I'm looking at these themes. And this is how it describes welcome. And it's pretty obvious and very simple, but it's a good reminder. It says, to say hello to someone in a friendly way when they arrive somewhere, to be pleased that someone has come or has joined an organization or activity, behaving in a polite or friendly way to a guest or new arrival, to greet someone arriving in a polite or friendly way. So that's what welcome is all about, and I think we all know that. But one thing I was looking at is how, you know, I don't know if you know this, but if you put a word in Google, it'll give you kind of this tendency of how much a word is being used. So I looked at welcome, and welcome is the top one. And if you look at it, it's just kind of rocketed up. It's a word that's it's much more part of our vocabulary because it's much more part of something that we feel is important. Nowadays, people feel it's really important that they're welcomed well. And that's why a lot of companies have picked this up, and you have like the Apple stores, which are all cool, and kind of you feel important just by going there, and they make you feel like you're really welcomed, because that's what's important for people today. And just to check, I was just wanting to check if this had kind of, every word was kind of rocketing up, because there's more people around or more media. But actually, I looked at another word, and the bottom word is honesty. And if you see the mentions of honesty have kind of been a bit stable, a bit less than in the past. So it's basically the percentage of times it's used. It's not how many times it's mentioned. Because if not, obviously, there's more people, more mentions, everything would be going up. But so it's more important for people today to feel welcomed than probably it was in the past. So that's why it's a key aspect of who we are as a church. And one of the things, I went to New Wine a few weeks ago, and I went to talk on millennials, and I'm quite proud to say I'm still a millennial. I'm kind of on the older bracket, but when they were giving the brackets and I was part of it, I was thinking, oh, yes, I'm a millennial. I felt quite young. But actually, they were saying that, and I actually bought a book then, because I realized I'm a millennial, I bought a book, is How Do Millennials Lead? But basically, what one of the things the person talking about millennials said that the three aspects that were the most important for millennials coming to church, and that meant that they stayed at church and grew at church, and there were three aspects, and one was that they felt welcome. So kind of one of the most important things for them, for us, is is that they felt welcomed. That's one of the key aspects of why they chose to go to church, or why they started going to church, or why they continued, is they felt welcomed. So it is a really, really important bit of how we do life together and who we are as a church. So let's dig into one of our two passages today. The first one is from Matthew 5. Matthew 5 is a Sermon of the Mount, so it's basically Jesus' most important sermon, and I'd say the best sermon in history, and this is because I'm a bit of a geek, but it is a really good sermon. It's three chapters of Matthew, just amazing, Jesus pouring out his heart and just sharing basically what it means to be a disciple. And he says, God, he's talking about God the Father, he causes his son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And I highlighted that because actually one of the things we need to remember as people who want to welcome others and welcome each other is that actually God loves everyone in the exact same measure. God loves kind of the most, say, sinful and bad person in the world as much as he loves you. He loves people like, I don't know, I'm going, but sort of people like Hitler and the kind of the worst people on the world as much as he loves you. And therefore, we can't, once we understand that, and he actually wants to bless them as much as he wants to bless you, and he wants them to feel loved as much as he wants you to feel loved. And understanding that will help us understand that there's no kind of merit in how we love people. We're just called to love people because God loves them. It's just a gift of how God is. His grace is so big that he just loves everyone in the same measure. And that probably will help us understand why we are called to welcome everyone, because actually, for God, they are as important as you are. So the worst kind of person you can think of in the world, for God, is as important as I am. And I feel it's important for us to remember that, because that's when we can welcome and love them, by understanding that actually in God's heart they are top in their priority, because he loves them so much and he wants to bless them and he wants them to know his love. So then the passage continues and it says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? And then he says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And I highlighted perfect because we see perfect and it's okay, this is impossible. This is like the standard we'll never get to and never live up to. But actually the Greek word for perfect is complete, be mature, grow, be a disciple who's maturing. So it's not that Jesus is expecting us to be perfect, because none of us is, but he is expecting us to develop as disciples, to mature, to grow, to be, the word is kind of complete, to be those people who are who can try and live out their faith, which doesn't mean you have to be perfect. So I thought I'd just highlight that. But what's the main kind of drive in this passage is, and if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? And this doesn't mean that as Christians we are better than others. No, by no way kind of does this mean that because you're a Christian, therefore you're kinder and gentler and more welcoming than others. Because I've known so many people who don't follow Jesus who are kind of so full of love and so kind and much more welcoming and generous and kind than I am. But what this means is that because this is kind of a discipleship training kind of sermon, what Jesus is saying is, actually, you should be making an effort. You should be kind of a more welcoming and greet others more than if you weren't a Christian. So if we kind of get an alternate Nico without knowing Jesus, I hope that he would be less kind and less loving and less welcoming than my version knowing Jesus, if that makes sense. And that's what Jesus is trying to kind of encourage them, is saying, is being a Christian making a difference in your life? Is this kind of knowing Jesus and wanting to know him better changing the way you act and your attitude towards others? Or are you just kind of the same as everyone around you? Because Jesus' call is to be different, to try and love as he loves, to try and be as he is. So as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, how do you feel welcomed? How do I feel welcomed? What makes you feel welcome? So maybe it's quite early, so I have a kind of longer time to preach. So maybe can you speak with the person next to you, around you? How do you feel welcomed? And if you find that really annoying and uncomfortable, just you can think about it in silence for a minute. But let's spend 30 seconds speaking with the people around us. How do you feel welcomed? All right, let's try and continue. If you found that really uncomfortable and not welcomed, I'm really sorry about that. I just realized that, and in the context of talking about being welcomed, that might not be some people's cup of tea, so sorry about that. But what I always feel, kind of what makes me feel welcomed, and we have, my uncle lives in Chichester, and we were talking with Sonia the other day of how welcomed we feel each time we go and visit them. And so he and his and my aunt live there, and every time we go, it's just really comfortable. You arrive and they give you a cup of coffee and they give you really nice food, but it's just the conversation is very easy. You don't feel judged, you don't feel kind of uncomfortable in any way. You just sit down, and I know that kind of Benjamin can do a bit of noise and they'll be fine with it. And you just feel all right, you feel like in peace, you feel you can be yourself. And I think that's what being welcomed many times is all about. And I remember In May, we went to the leadership conference, which HTB hosts. And they're very kind of fond of doing good welcomes. So as you're walking in, like half a mile before, you already have these people with T-shirts and balloons, and they're all really excited that you're coming. And sometimes sort of I'm half asleep, and I'm like, really, I don't want to deal with someone who's too excited with a balloon in my face. But actually, what I do feel is that they're very approachable. I feel that if I have any question I'm going to ask, they'll answer it, and they'll be very happy to answer a question. And actually, sometimes I just feel I want to ask a question because I know they'll be very happy to answer it. And just ask, sort of, where's the venue? And you know where it is, but they'll still tell you, just because you know that makes them happy. But it's that kind of... It's that kind of feel, isn't it, that you feel very welcome to ask, and you won't come up with like, oh, really, you're going to ask this? They're actually very nice about it, or even kind of new wine. Each time you go into a venue, there's people in the door just smiling at you and say, hello, good to see you again. And it's a very simple thing, but actually it feels like it's really nice to be there. I know some churches do like too excessive welcome, and sometimes I remember when I was playing rugby, sometimes I couldn't go to my usual service back in Argentina. So sometimes I'd get a friend to kind of drop me off near a kind of this massive church which I used to visit. And I remember sort of, I just go sit at the back, just want to worship, listen to a talk, and that's it. And then suddenly I'd see kind of the leader, and you'd notice who the leader is, and he's kind of spot me, and he'd look at a young person, kind of do, and suddenly he had these two young people kind of walking back behind me, and suddenly pop out, hello, are you new? And I'm like, yes, I'm new. And I'd go through, yes, I'd answer a few questions, that's fine. 3 minutes later, another leader would spot me and get her two young people, come around, hello, like, yes. And after a while, I was like, just had my speech prepared. I'm a Christian, I go to another church, I'm just visiting, just want to listen to a sermon. Thank you very much. God bless you. Goodbye. But you know what I mean? They were looking out for us. They wanted us to feel welcomed, and maybe too much sometimes. But it's finding that balance and knowing how people react and not be too overwhelming as well. So let's go to our second passage. This is Hebrews, and it says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. But by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. So it's basically the same idea. It's showing hospitality, showing welcome, showing love to the stranger, to the person in prison, to the person who's ill-treated, to the person who is different. And I just feel that's so much what God calls us to do. And sometimes that means kind of showing hospitality and building relationships with people who are quite different to us. And I remember, and I shared this at the 6 o'clock service last Sunday, is when I was growing up in church, one of the things I felt kind of God prompting me to do was to become friends with people who wouldn't naturally be my friends, because we didn't share that many things, we didn't have that many things in common. I was used to having kind of my school friends and my rugby friends, kind of the people who were very similar to me. And actually I felt God kind of saying, well, being part of a Christian is being friends with people who are different. And I built relationships with some young people who are still my friends today, who are completely different, like completely different background, different kind of things we liked. But actually, in a way, stepping out in faith and spending some time with them, and kind of intentionally spending time with them, then meant we started having a lot of things in common, and that those friendships grew really deep. And kind of some of them, or at least one or two of them, are now really good kind of leaders at church. And when we meet, we chat, and we have a lot in common. And it's a really nice relationship. But it did take that first step to say, well, actually, instead of just going to the people who are exactly like me, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and spend time with people who maybe are a bit different, not better or worse, but just different, and then see how that relationship really enriched me and hopefully enriched the other person as well. So that's our calling, to go for people who are a bit different to us, to kind of relate with people who are different. So on a very practical note, I looked at one of a school and how they felt, and they asked children at school how did they kind of feel welcome and how did it feel being new at a place. And so this is school-age children. They were asked, and when they were asked, how do you feel when you're new in a group, in a school, they said, we feel scared, we feel weird, feel nervous, afraid of being bullied, frustrated. So there's that sense of being a bit uncomfortable when you're new at some place. And then what does it mean to be included? So how do you feel welcomed? Let's say, ask them to play four square, probably won't do that, but help them clean their desk, talk to them, give them space when they're upset, say hi, invite them to your party. It's very, probably different context to ours, but it's the same things come across. If we want church to be the most welcoming place on earth, then we need to talk to other people other than kind of the people we usually talk to. And we need to give space to people that are upset and don't overwhelm them. Just need to say hi and invite them over for a cup of tea or coffee. But that's our calling, and that's who we are as Christians, and that's what we should be doing. And when I was thinking of this, I was thinking, I don't want to just be someone who welcomes others. And in a way, I want to be a welcomer. And that's a bit different or similar, but a welcomer, just being someone who whose presence is welcoming, if that makes sense. It's not only I'm welcoming others because I'm coming and being nice sometimes, but actually being someone where people feel kind of happy to come to and speak about things and not feel judged and feel valued and loved when they come to speak to me. A bit like my uncle, like be those people who others can come and feel that they can just be themselves and not have to put on a show and not have to lie and not have to be uncomfortable. So I think as Christians, we are called to be those welcomers, people who when others come, they feel safe. When others come, they feel loved, because that's actually who God is, isn't he? That's why we love coming to God, because we can have done the worst thing or have forgotten him completely for 10 years and still come, and he's still the God who will rush out and come and embrace us and say, it's great to see you, let's come and have a chat. Because that's who God is. And in so many ways, as Christians, if we are that, then we'll become the loving community we are called to be. Then we'll be the people we are called to be. And then everyone will feel very loved and valued and welcomed around us if we are like God, if we have that heart that he has. And I know that sometimes it can be difficult to feel welcomed in a service like this one. You normally have more than 200 people, and it's quite hard to realize who's new and who's not new, and who have I spoken to and who haven't I. Actually, when we started coming to church, we are coming to this service, and I remember, I think maybe 6 or 8 months after starting to come, someone came and said, oh, hello, are you new? Is this your first time? I was like, really? I've been here nearly every Sunday. I wasn't preaching yet, so I think, So it's hard in a service like this, and thank God I can't remember who it was because I didn't know people's names before, so please don't feel judged if that was you. I still couldn't recognize as many kind of names as I do now, but it's difficult, isn't it, in a service this size to feel welcome, to feel part. But actually that's what God invites us to do, to feel part and to actually intentionally speak to us so that we feel more part of what God is doing in this place. I'd like to end by reading something I read at the APCM. So for those who don't know what the APCM is, like our annual general meeting, which we do at the end of March. And I had to kind of speak at that APCM. And I just want to read something I said because it really ties into what we're looking at today. Is my prayer is that we build a culture of encouragement, of excitement, of what God is doing, that we are a place and a group of people, a church where people come and feel loved. It's up to you and me, us together, to build God's kingdom in this place, to enable everyone to grow spiritually, to be comforted, to be loved, to be welcomed. When we lose our hope, when we feel lost, we can come to Jesus and rediscover how marvelous, how wonderful our God is. So we are called to be culture shapers, not let the culture of our church be whatever it becomes naturally, but actually shape it to be what God wants it to be. That also includes house groups, groups of friends, everything we do. We can shape it. And because his grace is amazing, his power is infinite, his love is unfailing, and through him our sins are forgiven, our lives restored, our souls healed, our spirit filled, our eternity secured, and his kingdom is established, let us encourage one another. Let us build one another up. Let's create a kingdom culture in this church. And let's extend his kingdom all around us, because that is who we are called to be, a loving and welcoming community that follows Jesus. And just for us to remember that we are following the great welcomer. Jesus is the great welcomer. God the Father is a great welcomer. The Holy Spirit is a great welcomer. And he asks us to welcome others because we have been welcomed first. And I'd like to just invite us in our time of worship to just receive that invitation, receive that welcome from God, because he wants to welcome us into his presence. He wants us to feel very welcome to spend time with him. So before we stand and we sing, I'd like us to close our eyes. And as we close our eyes, maybe just imagine you're in front of God, and God is there, because he's actually here. But just imagine you can see God, and he is welcoming you. He's saying, come. I love you. Come, I want to spend time with you. Come, I want to embrace you. Come, I want to heal your soul. Come, I want to fill you. Come, I want to give you a purpose. Come, I want you to be my welcomers in this earth. Come to me. Receive my love. Receive my grace. Be filled with my Holy Spirit. Just imagine that scene. God is there. You are there. And he just runs towards you. He just runs to embrace you. He just runs to give you the biggest hug you've ever received in your life. God, you are the great welcomer. We love being welcomed by you. We love coming to your presence because we don't feel judged and we don't feel undermined. And we feel we can be ourselves and we don't need to hide anything. We can just be comfortable with you and receive your love and receive your grace and receive your peace. And I just pray, Lord, that you will fill us with your presence this morning. That you will fill us with your love this morning. That you will just fill us with an understanding of how much you love other people, with the grace to understand other people's differences and difficulties, Lord. That we will be so full of your love that we'll be able to love those around us, welcome them into the church, into our friendship groups, welcome people all around us. In Jesus' name, amen.